You are listening to the Frillo Bros Tech Podcast, Episode 74, The Future of Cyborgs and Supercapacitors. So we have time for one more topic, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have trouble fitting it into 20 minutes, but we are going to try, because I have to leave in 20 minutes, okay? So that is where we're at. Google had another announcement this week.
Yes, they did.
I don't know how to say it other than I'm not quite ready to pay $1,500 for them, just like I'm not ready to pay $1,300 for a Chromebook.
Yeah, but you are.
I am
way
more
ready.
Likely to pay $1,500 for this particular invention. So just out of curiosity, did you see the video that Google put out for Glass?
Glass. Yes, I did.
Okay, Glass. Yes, you did. Very cool.
Tell me about
it. So they put out this video, They put out this video that shows like what it looks like through Glass, and you can watch them, you know, using it, and it looks pretty cool. And then in addition to that, and I'm just going to kind of paint the high picture, and then you can decide where you want to dive in. Joshua Topolowski from The Verge, he got to spend some time actually playing with it and learning about it, and did this massively long update along with a long video that talked about it and, you know, what it is and what it isn't, stuff like that. And then just so happened to coincide with all of this, a Mr. Mark Zuckerberg happened to be in the same place as a Mr. Sergey Brin, who always wears his glasses. Yeah. And they said that in the middle, I don't even remember where they were at the University of California, San Francisco's Mission Bay Medical Campus. And they were doing something. And
I love all the particulars.
And, like, in the middle of it, Zuckerberg literally, like, went over to go try them on and check them out. And was like, awesome.
Yeah.
And they said, like, ironically, the founder of like the biggest social network and sharing thing was like, no, please no pictures. This is a private thing.
Yeah.
Which we're like, whatever, dude, way to be hypocritical. But anyways, but they shared a moment, and from everyone's description, they're like, Zuckerberg is pumped about these glasses and was asking all sorts of questions and can I do this? Can I do that? What about this? What about that? And, you know, and Sergey was like, oh man, these are all good. Yeah. Yeah. And Zuckerberg was like, I literally have three engineers sitting around waiting to get a pair of glasses so we can start developing for it. That's how pumped we are right now. And so there's kind of like Glass happened this week again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Google came out with this video and in some ways it was just like, amazing choreography on their part. I also just think part of it was, you know, just PR luck. They come up with this video that shows you, here's what it looks like from your perspective. They have a very highly respected tech blogger get to use them and do a very, very nice write-up about them. Just talking about, okay, you got to see the video of here's what it looks like, where it's got the little pop-ups, it's not bad. You got this guy's perspective who you trust saying, here's what it's like to wear them, here's what some of my concerns are, here's how it actually feels to have it on. You know, and then you have this other tech luminary who's just like, this is awesome.
Yeah, yeah, it's pumped.
He's like us with $1 billion and the ability to actually to do something about it.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah, $1 billion. That's laughable, James. You mean billions of dollars. I'll say I'm pretty excited. I love
it. So what do you think about it? Okay. I guess, you know, what I want to know, you know, is I'm just going to assume that if you don't know what we're talking about, you should probably stop listening to this podcast or – better yet, we'll have the links in there where you can watch the video that Google did and on that Verge one, they also put together a video, so you don't have to read the long write up that you could watch them interacting with it and talking about it. So there's that. What I really want to know is like, what do you think of it, man? I mean, let's just say, first of all, if price wasn't an issue, would you Would you wear them? Would you use it?
If I had $1,500 lying around, yes. And
okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Cost okay. isn't. Okay. Right. But why?
Okay. All right. I'll tell you why. When the iPad launched, we weren't doing this show. But if we had been doing this show, this is what I would have told you. There's this dude. He's the lead singer of Talking Heads. He did a TED Talk, one of my favorite TED Talks of all time. And he talks about the history of music in relationship to the venue and the idea of how sound echoes and how, like, how the types of songs changed at the advent of the radio because they sound different, or how, you know, one of the reasons why dirges were so popular during the, you know, 1400s, because everybody sang in churches and the only way to get the sound to pass was long, low tone, notes. And so just talking about how the idea of creativity filling the venue. Basically, if you open up a venue with certain characteristics, people will create stuff to fill that venue, quite literally. And when the iPad launched, you know, and a lot of times people build venues without having any idea what kind of music is going to go into it. Or they'll build a venue thinking, oh, we'll play this type of music. And everybody's like, that music stinks in it. So somebody creative comes in and they take over. The iPad, when it was launched, Steve Jobs said, this is what the iPad is for. We've built this venue and we've filled it with these things. And the reaction that everybody had very early on was, that's stupid. Why would I use that for that? I already have these other venues that work better. And I was like pulling my hair out going, you guys don't get it. This is a new venue. This is an opportunity for creative people to do something new that's never been done before. It's a blank canvas. It's completely different. This is the most exciting thing that's happened in like the last 6 months because technology moves ridiculously fast. but it's one of those things, and it's like the iPhone. The iPhone was another perfect example, especially at the advent of apps, because it opened up the canvas. It opened up this new venue, and you think people's, you know, people, it's so funny listening to people like talk about it on the news. They're like, oh, you're gonna have this thing in your eye. What happens when you get a text while you're crossing the street and you get hit by a car? You know, like, oh my gosh, you guys are giving me headaches. I just want to, oh my gosh, like, you know, you guys are so unimaginative, I can't even stand it. See, the thing is like with this piece of hardware is, it's like, yeah, okay, it's first going to come out. And you're going to have everybody talking about, like, okay, glasses. And anybody who wears it is going to have these $1,500 goggle, you know, pair of glasses on. So it's going to be like, it's going to be a status symbol. It's going to be like not very useful when it first comes out, but everybody's going to be stoked about it. Everybody's going to want to see it. Everybody's going to want to try it on. It's going to be like having the iPhone back in 2007. Is that one? Let's 2007. Yeah. And where it's that same sort of, I don't get that group.
I've gotten cheap since then.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I don't, you know, like people will be like, why do I need this? What is this for? And you're just,
dude,
like,
that's
well,
what they
it's
gotta
really
do. They gotta figure out how to put a wireless device in there so that we can sell it on contract. Oh, get it subsidized.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
No, I know.
But yes, I was pumped to see that it does connect to an iPhone via Bluetooth.
Yeah,
that was exciting.
It is exciting. So this whole thing is, and this is what it is they are opening up for the first time, and this is the other exciting thing. Unlike the iPad, where people like got it and were like, for the first time, imagining what would I do with a touch panel in my hand that I can carry anywhere. Well, and that's not true, totally true. We've been thinking about it for a long time, especially UI features. But what to actually do with it, we hadn't really thought about. We're like, oh, yeah, I guess we can do this. And just look how fast people got into it and how pervasive they are all of a sudden. And that, there's a lot of different reasons for that, from pricing and availability and, you know,
So just out of curiosity, have you adapted your iPad into, you know, your life yet so that you could never live without it?
I've had it for a week. Mostly. Yeah, I use it at work all the time, like for work. It's pretty cool.
I'm kind of hoping
it's useful. Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping that my Pebble watch becomes kind of like that, where after I've had it for a while, I'm like, why would I have a regular watch? This thing is amazing.
Well, and I wonder, want my iWatch to be like that.
Yeah, and I wonder, you know, if these glasses will be that way, where, you know, you wear them for a month, and by the time you, you know, at the end of that month, you're literally just like, I don't want to walk around without it. This is now a part of my life and who I am. You know, it's funny, too. They talk about, in the article, the thing about, with computers and the internet, like spam became this big hated thing because email, believe it or not, was this very personal thing where, you know, because it was so close to you and in your face and it was your spot. And then they talk about how phones became even more personal because it's like it's in your pocket. It's a part of who you are and you take it around with you and, you know, you watch over it. And there's these devices that are becoming more and more personal and a part of us. And now here you have this device that is literally on your body. And unlike a watch, I mean, it's literally on your face in front of your eyes, you know. And they talk and they're like, this thing's going to become intensely personal, you know, which like it's very interesting to think about that and go, wow, you know, you know, and they were like, design's going to be important, color's going to be important, because this is going to represent you and who you are and the functionality and the connectivity of it. It's just, you know, if you start getting spammed with this, oh my word, you know, I don't know what you'll see happen.
Yeah, people will get crazy. So, listen, I want to go full circle here. Okay. When I was in high school, the most exciting, and I actually didn't say this earlier because I knew where we were going. I've read the script. What I actually really wanted, I wanted cochlear and ocular implants so that I could have a computer in my brain, so that I could literally be sitting and listening to music, playing video games, and I actually want to, and this is the final step, is I want to be able to control the mouse with my brain, which you can do with cybernetics, which is really cool. You can plug it in, and so I can just sit there and operate a computer, the interface being ported directly into my ocular nerves, directly into my ear-real nerves,
wow,
and controlling it with my brain. And to me, this is pretty much it without the surgery.
Getting close, which is nice.
Yeah.
Convenient.
And exactly. I'm sign me up. And, you know, and the thing
if
is,
you look at it that way, this is cheap. Why didn't you buy it?
But yeah, exactly. But you know,
doesn't cover it.
I'm still not sold on the fact that I want a pair of glasses instead of implants because I got a soft spot in my heart for implants. But
think of it as a demo. You're just trying it out. You know, exactly. See if you really want to take that next step.
Exactly. And I have a feeling I know what the answer is. I'm going to be a weird 80-year-old.
So the other thing that they talked about with it, what they were talking about was the reason why they decided that this had to happen was people were constantly grabbing in their pockets and looking down at their phones and like missing life. And that was, so they came up with is there this way that we can prevent people from having to look down so that they can actually enjoy the world we live in? And so they came up with this glass idea, and I thought he asked a good question. He goes, does that mean, you know, there's inherently something wrong where, or is our society so messed up that in order to get people to look up and interact with the world and with others, we literally have to augment their reality for them. Otherwise they won't do it.
Okay. Somebody would call that messed up. I might call that incredibly awesome. I don't know. I'm just saying. You know, and it's funny. I got called out Thursday night. I was out hanging out with some friends, and I got briefly distracted by my phone. I have the attention span of a 3-year-old child. Like I can't. It's terrible. But And I was sitting there playing, and it's funny. It's like my thought there was, God, I wish I could have just been playing through my brain. I'm like, I hope neither of these people ever listen to the podcast, and there's a good chance that they might. So I say this in full acknowledgement of it. But there was that moment where I was sitting there going, God, I'm bored. And like, which is terrible because they're really cool people. I really like hanging out with them. It was like a 30-second little clip. But my reaction was to turn to my phone and to re-stimulate myself. I'm sitting in the middle of a bar. There's live music. We're playing games and talking. And I got bored and decided to turn to my phone. I don't get it. Well, but I do get it. It's just like there's such a rush of stimulation all the time. And I don't know. That's an interesting question. What does it mean about us? What are we doing to our brains? What are we doing to our social lives by doing this? And you know, on the road, I have to constantly
preventing
remind
Alzheimer's.
Myself,
that's what we're doing.
Yeah. I have
keeping
to constantly remind myself while I'm driving, especially in traffic. Oh wait, you're not supposed to surf Reddit right now. You're supposed to pay attention to the car in front of you. Like, because I just instinctively pick up my phone, flip on the app, and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm driving. And if I can now pay attention and drive, you know, and yet still surf Reddit, I'm not any less distracted. Just my eyes are on the car in front of me, sort of.
So that'll be interesting, right? Because I think about that example. Okay, sure, your hands are not being used, but your brain is definitely being distracted
exactly.
by something else. And you can't multitask. So I don't think, you know, and what I, you know, when they talk about, you know, like talking on your phone while driving, they're like, honestly, you shouldn't even be doing that with a headset on. You
right,
should not do the
distracting
two.
Part. Yeah.
You know, but it's also interesting, though, is you were talking about how you got in trouble, you got called out for looking at your phone. When I watched the video of him using it, you can tell when he's looking at the device. And so it'll be interesting to see, is that something where you learn how to not move your eye and look at it and just read it through your peripheral vision? Or will you still just get in trouble? And that'll be even worse because – it'll be so hard to be like, I'm not going to look. I'm not going to look.
Well,
I'm not going to look.
There was a discussion I was reading where they were talking about the idea that, you know, the obvious answer is when you go on a date, you take off your hat, you take off your glasses.
I guess that's that too.
That's, you know, yeah, exactly. Well, and that's what's so funny is everybody was like, what do you do on a date? It's incredibly distracting. Or when you're with family and everybody's like, you do what you always do with technology. You turn it off and put it in your pocket. And because it's incredibly rude to play games while you're out with friends. And that's the thing is like, I will just have to take it off, turn the power off because
funny.
And
okay. I guess that is a solution.
You know, because you need to be able to unplug. And of course the really frustrating part about it is once I decided to not play with my phone anymore, I re-engaged. I actually disengaged and drifted over to the phone because I was disengaged. The phone made it very easy to continue to be disengaged from what was going on. So to turn back to what was going on, all I had to do was turn the phone off or put it back in my pocket. And actually all I did was set it down on the table.
I think points to just a whole different thing, right?
This is
kind of weird in the sense that it's supposed to be solving a problem, but in reality, it's not going to do that either.
I think it's exaggerating the issue, and I still think it's incredibly exciting and great, but that's the point. What they're trying to do is they're trying to tell you what this new venue is for, and I think they're wrong, and that's what's so exciting about it. It's going to be for something completely different, and they don't even really know yet what it's for.
Well, what's cool about Google is that they are they're at least smart enough to know that it's going to change, and they're totally willing to
feel that out. They're not like Apple, where Apple is more apprehensive to that, so things don't move as fast with Apple. Whereas with Google, you know, Mark Zuck is going to be like, I want to do this, this, and this, and Google's going to say, go for it. Sounds great. Let's try that. You know, and so that's what's so exciting about Google developing these. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm scared.
It's gonna be cool.
The future.
It's gonna be awesome. And that is our show for the day. Hopefully you found it exciting. I know I did. Honestly, we could go for another hour, I'm pretty sure, pretty easily. But unfortunately, I have places to go, people to see, things to do. That is my Saturday. So everybody, thank you for joining us. I am James Furlow, and my I always forget, man. I cannot forget. I cannot
remember about my futuristic brother, I think is what I went with.
Was that what was futuristic?
Yeah.
I kept thinking like it has to do with the Oscars, but we didn't even mention it, so why would I even think that? There you go. I think I was watching a College Humor. I think I was watching a College Humor video about the Oscars, which is why it's there, which was hilarious, like most of their stuff. Anyways, my name is James Furlow. My futuristic cyborg brother is Matthew Furlow, and we will talk next time. I need to remember to write that down ahead of time, you know, when you do it, so that I don't have to do that awkward pause in the middle.
Unless that's it is kind of fun when you're like, it's becoming a thing where like almost every show you're like, and this is my, I don't remember.
It's my something. He's my brother. I know that, but there's more to this. All right. Well, I'm not writing it down. No. Very cool. Hey, man, have a great rest of your Saturday. And we will, like I said, we'll talk next time.